Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, verse 3. This is the last book in the Old Testament. The prophet Malachi says this. It's the only time that God is referred to as this, but I love this. But for you who fear my name, how many of you fear the name of God, or you fear God? Raise your hand. That doesn't mean I'm scared. It means I have reverence. I'm in awe of, I honor, I respect. But for you who fear my name, the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness will rise. I love this. And when it rises with healing in his wings. And you will go free. Somebody say, I'm healed and I'm free. And for those of you that have never been on a farm or ranch or you've never seen this, I need you to YouTube a video of happy calves when you get home. It said, you will leap with joy like calves let out to pasture. I mean, they buck and run and they're just so excited. On the day when I act, you will tread upon the wicked as if they were dust under your feet, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, look at the sun. It will change your life. You may be seated. I know I've got some kids in the room today. My title is Look at the Sun. However, kids, do not look at the sun. Don't be standing out in the background burning your retinas telling them that Pastor Brandon told you to do that. When I say sun, S-U-N, or sun, S-O-N, for the sermon's sake and the message sake, they are synonymous, they are interchangeable. And so I want to encourage you and I to look at the sun. Can I just tell you, Mandy, is it okay if I share the testimony? She shared it this morning with our leadership team. But when I read this verse again last night, knowing where we were going today, I was so thankful because it says when the Son of Righteousness rises, he rises with healing in his wings. Pastor Mandy has had a very difficult March, a very difficult month, and has been in and out of the hospital, back and forth to the emergency room. More doctor's visits probably in the last 6 weeks than she has probably had since I have known her. And the doctor after doctor, were saying different things and didn't know what was going on. And the last prognosis and diagnosis they gave her at the end of March was that they thought that she had cancer. And we know the devil is a lie, praise God. And we know how to pray. And we know when to pray, and we know how to stand on the promises of God. But I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to be a transparent preacher right now, that when it happens in your house, it's a little different than when it happens in someone else's house. And tears were shed, and faith was fought for, and all of those things, and we weren't supposed to. Don't you hate it when you have tests run, and they tell you, we'll let you know in 3 or 4 weeks. And the waiting sometimes kills you. The waiting sometimes is so tough, but the way I look at the waiting periods is that gives you a focused time to pray and a focused time to take it to the Lord and lay it on the altar and take it in the presence of God. And Mandy got a call this past Wednesday from the doctor saying that we do not see any cancerous cells. All of your tests have come back and there is no cancer there. God is faithful. God is faithful. And no matter what season you are going through, God's faith remains even when seasons change. So when I read the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, I am here to testify. I know firsthand, and I know that people are scattered all over this building today. We know firsthand that when the Son of Righteousness rises, healing shows up with him. That can be healing in his wing, healing physically, that can be mentally, relationally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever that healing needs to be. Tomorrow, a total solar eclipse will take place. How many of you are excited about the eclipse? Two of you. How many of you like the election? You just want it to be over. so everybody quits talking about it. We can move on. So there will be an eclipse tomorrow. I know some schools have let out. In San Antonio, it will begin at 12:14. Totality will happen for 5 minutes from 1:32 to 1:36, and it will finally end at 2:55. Tomorrow, 2.5 million people in San Antonio will act as if they've never seen the sun before. I will be one of them. They say it's going to be cloudy. I told Mandy, I'm getting in my truck tomorrow, and I'm driving northwest until there's not a cloud in sight because I want to see this thing. Now, I'm not going to preach anything about Revelation and that this is the coming of the Lord and we are in. I've read, I've listened, I've watched all the conspiracy theories. The Bible says this, no man knows the hour. So this is what I told Mandy and Tyler this morning when we were talking about it. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, church, but I know what day he's not coming back. Eclipse day. It's going to be some random like Thursday at like 6:22 p.m. Now, I'm not telling you it's a Thursday at 6:22. I'm just saying. But tomorrow we will all put on glasses. If you're in the totality for 5 minutes, you don't even have to wear glasses. And we will all stand out there and look in ooh and ah over a ball of fire that has been hanging in the air for 6,000 years. 3 months from now, we will complain about that ball of fire. It's too hot. Dads all over Texas will say it's not the heat that gets you. It is the humidity. So too much sun will be complained about. We will talk about the sun tomorrow in such a positive way. But for the rest of the year, we will talk about having too much sun. Or you never hear about it until it's a problem or until we go through an eclipse and it's blocked. But can I take you all the way back to Genesis chapter 1? Then God said, let lights appear in the sky to separate day from night. Let them be signs to mark the season, days and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth. And that is what happened. God made two great lights. One to govern the day, that's the sun. A smaller one to govern the night, that's the moon. And the Bible says he also made the stars. That stars is so much bigger than just the stars that we see twinkling at night, because it means he also made the planets. The first thing he made was the sun. Before I go any further and not to get too far into my notes, the first thing he made was the most important thing. Because the sun is the center of our galaxy. Everything revolves around the sun. The moon has no value unless the sun shines. Because the moon reflects the light that the sun gives. The planets would not have the right gravitational pull and be able to stay in an elliptical orbit around the sun if the sun was not there. And so the sun has to be created first. And then after the sun, the reflector of the sun and the other stars and planets fall in line. Can I just tell you, church, in the room and online today, your life does not begin until Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, is the center of your universe. I don't care if you get saved at 7, 17, or 77. Your life does not begin. Your life does not start counting. Your life does not have the creative value that God wants it to have until Jesus is the center of your life. God set these lights in the sky, verse 17, to light the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And I cannot preach about the sun without making this point. 5 hours ago, when San Antonio was shrouded in darkness in the middle of the night, just because the sun could not be seen on our side of the planet did not mean it wasn't shining. Can I encourage somebody today? You might be in the darkest season of your life. It might be the darkest valley that you have ever been in. But just because you can't see the rays of sunshine does not mean that on the other side of the globe it is not shining. When storms happen, it's just because clouds have gotten between the sun and us. The sun will shine again in your life. There's no such thing as too much Jesus. My head, if you get closest to me, it's a problem when you don't have hair. My head's peeling because I forgot to put my hat on while I was mowing the grass. I got too much sun. Too much sun will begin to affect you. Too much sun can dehydrate you. Too much sun can make you sunburn and peel. Too much sun can literally zap all of the energy. I'm telling you, when we're talking about the Son of Righteousness and Jesus, there is no such thing as too much Jesus. I'm the wrong guy you want to invite to your retirement or your party or your family get together, because there's only one thing I really know about, and that's Jesus. And so everything, I'm not going to be weird about it. I'm not going to be pushy about it. It's just in my everyday verbiage. It's what I talk about. It's what, why? Because he's done so much for me. He saved me. He has transformed me. He has restored me. He has healed my wife. He has healed my children. He has done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. An eclipse is an obscuring of light from or to something. The synonyms or the words that are synonymous with eclipse are to block, to cover, to hide. For the next few moments, I want to talk about four powerful takeaways from the eclipse. Not the eclipse tomorrow, but when we talk about the sun. Number one, every planet in our solar system revolves around the sun. As believers, our lives revolve around the sun. I got one amen there, and there should have been everybody in the room. Our life, thank you very much. Our lives revolve around the sun, not the other way around. We don't fit Jesus in wherever we can. We don't give him the leftover time and space. We plan our schedule and life around Jesus. Let me talk about me for just a moment. I am 42 years old and I have never missed a church service because of my kids' sports games or a musical performance or a theatrical production, or because I had family in town, or because we needed a rest day, or because we needed a family day. This is my family day. This will probably be the only day all week that Fender 5 will be in the same room, and I am okay with that. I don't want it to be at Outback. I want it to be in the presence of the Lord. Well, we just need a rest day. Well, most people that come to church are sitting down the whole time anyway. Just rest here. Have time to run Johnny all over the state of Texas, watching him play baseball, when you know well enough and that he's not going to go play in the World Series anytime soon. I'm going to tell you, there is a 0.002% chance that any of our kids are going to make it to Major League and professional sports, but there is a 100% chance that every one of them will stand before God and ask, what did you do with my son Jesus? That's why my life revolves around him. Let's go a little further. I've been walking with God for 24 years, church. I've never let a day go by that I did not thank God. I've never let a day go by that I didn't praise him. Now, there may be days I should have praised him more, and there may be days I should have prayed a little more. There may be some days I should have fasted a little longer, but there has never been a day, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect. What I'm saying, don't get it twisted, is I still got to crucify my flesh every day, but keeping Jesus at the center of my universe has what kept me from going crazy. The reason that I serve God is not to go to heaven. The reason I serve God is he's done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. And if it hasn't been for Jesus every day in my life, me revolving around him, my marriage wouldn't be what it is. My family wouldn't be what it is. My money wouldn't be what it is. My mind wouldn't be what it is. I'm talking about an everyday life with Jesus at the center. With Jesus at the center. He is the center of our lives. In times of distress, this is going to preach now. In times of distress, when we don't know what to do, Have you ever been there? You don't know what to do. When you don't know what is going on, anybody ever been there? You don't know what is going on. I'll raise my hand. It is very easy for us, church, to ask the question, where is God? Please take that phrase out of your vernacular. Because when you say this, you have declared yourself to be out of orbit. Where is God is never a good question, because God is the place that you left him, and he is always there, and he is an ever-present help. And so you've declared yourself out of orbit. You've announced to the world, Jesus is no longer the center of my life. We have way too many out of orbit believers. On Sunday, we orbit and we revolve around Jesus. And we sing all the right songs, and we praise at the right time, and we amen at the right time. But then Sunday church is over, and it's time to go to Olive Garden. And it's time to go to Cousin Ray Ray's house. And then we go to work. Jesus is where I left him. So how dare me have the audacity to say, when I'm this far from God, where is he? He is the place that he has always been. He is the center of the universe. And we've got people that are orbiting around other things and revolving around other things. And I want to tell you that everything in your life that matters is going to be found in Jesus. And so I never want to get out of that gravitational pull. You ever feel like Jesus is calling you closer? That to me is when we start getting a little too far out or a little too full of ourselves, and that pull starts saying, nope, you're starting to revolve around other things. You're starting to embrace other things. He said, get back in orbit. There are way too many out of orbit believers. Luke chapter 17, verse 17. Jesus has just healed 10 lepers. He says, go and show yourselves to the priests. One comes back to thank God. Verse 17 is where we pick up the story. And Jesus answered and said, where there are not 10 clean, where are the other 9? A lot of us have leper syndrome. That is, we were broken, we were messed up, we were dirty, we were lost until we found Jesus. Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, Jesus gets us back on the right track. And then once we get our life together, once he gets our life together, we bounce and go somewhere else. Can I encourage somebody today? You got to remember how far God has brought you from. You got to remember all that he's done in your life. In a world that is so obsessed with everything but Jesus, we've got to be so obsessed with Jesus that it exudes from every place in our lives. Jesus asked the question, where are the other 9? What do you mean where the? You just sent them away. But he never told them to not have gratitude. He never told them not to praise, not to worship. Verse 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. He said, he's the only one. And he said, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. When Jesus is the center of your life and we revolve around him, it brings wholeness, it brings totality to your life. Nothing missing, nothing missing, praise God. Every part of your life, I am so close to the center that Jesus is, that there's impossible for there not to be an impact on everything that is connected to me. Somebody say, my life revolves around the sun. Let's go number 2. The moon reflects the sun. As believers, we are to reflect the sun. An out of orbit believer cannot reflect that which he is not close to. You have to be close to Jesus to reflect Jesus. What would Jesus do is a noble question. However, we shouldn't have to stop and ask that question all the time. We should be so close to Jesus that I know exactly what he would have me do and what he would have me say. I'm going to give a special shout out. I'm sure she's watching. She's at work today. But how many Trish Neal fans we have in the room today? Anybody remember Trish? Trish was my personal administrator for 16 years. Let me tell you how well Trish knew me. Mandy, even after Mandy and I had been married 10 or 15 years, if there was an issue going on at the church or an issue going on in the office, and I was not in the office, Mandy would go ask Trish, what would Brandon do in this situation? What she's saying is Trish, you are so close to the business and the ministry mind of Brandon that you know how he would react, what he would say. Can I encourage you that you shouldn't always have to pray about what God wants you to do? You shouldn't always have to fleece God and fast 4 days to understand if this is the will of God. We're running out of time, church. We've got to be able to hear from God and simultaneously do what he has called us to do. And so you can only reflect that which you have a relationship with. Tomorrow, in the totality of the eclipse, for 5 minutes, the sun will be hidden. The sky will darken. The temperature will drop almost 10 degrees. Birds will not know whether to sing or to sleep. It will confuse the wild animals. Anytime the sun is covered, S-O-N, anytime Jesus is covered, darkness, chaos, and confusion ensues. Anytime that we cover up Jesus, anytime that we don't reflect him. Listen, I'm grateful that we reflect him on a Sunday, but I really don't need your reflection on a Sunday, and you really don't need mine. But where they really need that reflection is a dark world. They need us to be able to bounce the light of Christ off of us and into that situation and into that turmoil and into that confusion. Let us wake up tomorrow understanding that the world will pause when something gets in between earth and the sun. And can I encourage somebody in the room today? You cannot move forward if you are not going to be able to see and reflect that which is Jesus Christ. I'm going to do something here in the next 2 minutes that I hate what other people do, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to read 8 verses solid for your hearing, but it's so powerful. I was going to read just the verse 3, but we're going to read to verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from those who are perishing. The way the King James says it is, if the gospel is hid, if the light is hid, it is hid to those that are lost. You don't need me to reflect the light. You already have the light. You already have a connection with Jesus. But if I hide it, if I shout about it here and hide it out there, the ones that desperately need it no longer have it. They no longer have access to it. And so we have to be cognizant that every day we are reflecting something, and I want us to reflect the light of Christ. Verse 4, Satan, who is the god, little g, of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Verse 5, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we have offered ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let there be light in the darkness, Paul is going all the way back to Genesis 1:1. The God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God. It is not ourselves. If God gave us the power, who are we to hide the power? If God gave us the gift, who are we to hide the gift? Then for us churchgoers, we love verse 8. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Though suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. The heavenly light, the Son of Righteousness, shines in us. But it should not be a dead end into our life. It should be like a prism that goes out a million different directions. directions. That's why Jesus would tell us in the fifth chapter of Matthew, don't hide your light, but put it on in a place for everyone to see it so that everyone in the house can see. Paul encourages us in Ephesians 5:1. He says, imitate God. That sounds a lot like the moon reflecting God, praise God, reflecting the sun. He says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. That means imitate God at church, praise God. Imitate God at the family reunion. Imitate God in the drive-through when they're taking too long. Imitate God when you're signing the check for your taxes. Imitate God when somebody that you love puts a knife between your shoulder blades. Imitate God when everything is right. Imitate God when you get a cancer report. Imitate God no matter who's elected in November. Imitate God no matter how much money you have. Imitate God whether you are in the valley or the mountain. Imitate God in everything that you do. Believers, we are to be imitators of God and reflect who He is every day, everywhere, in all situations. Number three, a solar eclipse is when that which is supposed to reflect the sun's light, check this out, blocks the sun's light. So for most of our lives, you can walk out at night and find a moon and see the light that the moon is not creating light, it's reflecting light. And a lot of times, we blame other things for getting in the way. However, the thing that is supposed to reflect the light, tomorrow will actually get in the way of the light. I love this. Tomorrow at 1:22 p.m., we don't need the moon because the sun is shining. Tomorrow morning at 1:22 a.m., we will need the moon because the sun is shining on the other side of the globe. So why is it that when God shows up and the sun shows up, the reflectors of the sun now want all the glory? I quit watching Christian television because the moon is trying to be the sun. Moon, you're not famous. The sun is famous. You're supposed to reflect. It's not about you, moon. Get out the way. But tomorrow, everybody will ooh and ah because the secondary source has blocked out the first source. Can I tell you, as it pertains to our spiritual life, there's a lot of times it is not an outside force that messes me up. There's a lot of times it's not an outside enemy that trips me up. Sometimes me, the moon, that is supposed to be reflecting the Son of God, that is supposed to be reflecting His truth and His light, I get in the way. It's a popular saying, and it is so true. You didn't leave the church because the church hurt you. You left the church because people hurt you. The moon hurt you. The sun never did anything. If I offend you, I'm sorry. That's just the moon being the moon. But never take it out on the sun. Never take it out, I'm church hurt. No, your people hurt. Don't quit church because your people hurt, because you don't quit your job because your people hurt. You go to Thanksgiving with people you can't stand because you know you're going to get mama's good cooking. Don't run out on the sun because the moon has given you some problems. Don't blame God for obstructions that have nothing to do with God. It is a tired argument from the atheist and the agnostic that if God is so good, why would He give cancer? God doesn't give cancer. Cancer is a perversion of cells. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I come to give you life and Zoe. Don't get mad at the sun and blame the sun when the moon shows up. As a believer, don't let anything come in between you and the sun. That's why Paul would encourage us, just got a couple moments left. That's why Paul would encourage us and say, do not give place to the devil. Don't give place where he starts building you up. You got to watch. A lot of times we talk about criticism. You got to watch praise. You got to watch when people start praising you. You got to watch when people start telling you how awesome you are, how amazing you are. That's why we have to deflect and reflect. Oh man, Tyler, that's a great, great album, man. Great project. Oh, it's Jesus. I couldn't do it on my own. 9 out of 10 times, if you were to tell me, great message today, Pastor, I'm going to tell you it's all Jesus. You've heard me say that it's all Jesus. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be able to stand before you, let alone speak to you. Don't give place to the devil, because he'll start hyping you. Start hyping you up. Hyping the bad part of you up. Hyping, you know how that is. We've all got people in our lives that they hype us to the bad end of the spectrum in our life. Need to give place to the devil. Y'all know those Snickers commercials? You're not you when you're hungry. You are not you when you're not reflecting Christ. That's not the you. That's not the you that we need. And I'm going to end with this, and I already gave my disclaimer. Number 4. Tomorrow, I think I am a nerd about this kind of stuff, but I think the coolest thing about this eclipse, and the reason that I want to be right in the middle of the line of totality, is because we won't have to wear glasses. You can just look at and see the corona. And I know corona has a bad reputation now, but you can see the corona around. You can actually see the sun without all of the blinding light. But can I tell you, church, everything in this life is designed to steal your focus. Relationships. You know how it is when you first get together with him or her? That infatuation that you think is love? Those butterflies that you think mean marriage? That stuff can fade pretty quick. And it can steal your focus. I've seen people that were so in tune with God. I said to Tammy, you know what I'm talking about. We've counseled people that were so in tune with Jesus until she showed up. Or until he showed up. Or until they showed up. And their eyes that were so firmly on Jesus and on the sun had now shifted to moons. Had now shifted to other celestial bodies. I've seen people that were so in love with Jesus until they got a raise. You got to start working weekends. We're going to give you another $20,000 a year, but you got to start. And then you started saying silly things like, yeah, but Pastor, I still watch you on TV. Watching a live stream is different than being in the room, because when you watch a live stream, it's all this way. It's nothing this way. See, even if you're not running a camera or playing a keyboard today, just by you being here today, you've added your faith, you've added your presence, you've added your hope to the body of Christ. So look at the sun. When you look at the sun, it will impact and affect your vision. If you look at the real sun, the S-U-N, it will affect your vision. If you look at it for 10 seconds, you'll see spots for 10 hours. If you look at it for 30 minutes, you're probably going to do irreparable damage to your eyes. Well, here's what I found, church. When I look at the sun of righteousness, it does affect my vision. What my vision was in the flesh dies, and the vision of God comes to life. I've noticed this, that when I look at Jesus and I look at the sun long enough, I start seeing people different. I don't see them as a lost cause. I don't see them as a waste of space. I don't see them going through this and this and this. I see them as somebody that God loved enough to die for, with all of their warts, with all of their wrinkles, with all of their problems. I see that when I look at Jesus and I look at the sun long enough, I look at my marriage, my family different. I look at my money different. I look at my future different. Could it be that you're frustrated because you're focused on the wrong thing? Could it be that other planets and other stars and other moons have robbed you of your Jesus-centric focus? Stand on your feet in this room today. This church is a Jesus-centered church. And it will always be a Jesus-centered church. I'm grateful for the presence of the Lord that is here every day that we meet. This church building is used almost 7 days a week now. Sunday morning worship, Monday night rehearsals, Tuesday night rehearsals, Wednesday night church, Thursday night prayer class, and in the future it's going to be Bible study class and all of those things. Friday is men, women, or youth. But every time we meet, Jesus is the center here. But what we need is we need Jesus the center here. The older I get, the more I'm finding out that there's a lot of shooting stars around me. They're bright for one moment, and they'll steal your focus, but just as bright as they come, they fall. But the Son of Righteousness has risen, has been burning for eternity. The greatest thing about Jesus, and I've been standing on his promise that he will never leave us and never forsake us, especially the last 6 weeks in my family, is that he was Jesus before the cancer report. He was Jesus in the middle of the cancer report. And he's Jesus on this end of the cancer report. So I don't know what you're going through. And let's be honest, life happens. I don't know what May and June and July hold in our lives respectively and in our country, in our nation, our world. But I do know this. The sun that has risen yesterday, the sun that rose today, will rise again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And every time you see a sunrise from here to heaven, I want you to be reminded that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that the Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings, with freedom, and will crush the enemy as dust under his feet. These two precious ladies, I did my best to reach out, and my emails kept getting kicked back because I missed them the few services they weren't here. Because I know that their life revolves around Jesus. I know they love Jesus. And Tammy and myself and our team were concerned for them, and we need to check on them. But just because they're not here doesn't mean that he's not there. And I think that's something we need to carry with us today. God is going to be wherever you need him to be tomorrow. Just let him be God in that situation and in that location. As these have gathered in this altar today, some new faces I'm seeing, some leaders in this altar, mature believers in this altar. I believe there's another 3 or 4 dozen that you need to look within yourself right now, and you need to start taking inventory. Is Jesus the center of my life, or is he the center of my Sunday? Is he the center of my life, or is he only the center of my valley? Is he the center of my health, or just the center of my cancer? No, he's the center of it all. He's the center of it all. And if Jesus is not number one priority in your life, we don't want to condemn you, but we want the Spirit to draw you to a deeper relationship with Jesus. And this is your call to do just that and to leave your seat and to join us here in this altar. There's space for you at the altar. Last Sunday, we had them stretched from wall to wall going down these aisles. What a special day. But let me tell you something. This day is just as special, because if it's the day that you get everything prioritized, if it's the day that you put Jesus back in the number one slot in your life, if it's the day that you start orbiting Jesus and revolving around him again, this will be the greatest day of your life. I'm going to ask our pastoral team to get ready to start and go ahead and start laying hands. You don't need to wait on me. Go ahead and start laying hands on those in this altar. I'm going to encourage those of you that are still at your seat, maybe watching online today, on the other side of that red light and screen, wherever you are at today, I see you. God sees you. But if you need Jesus, this is your chance to lift your hands and call on him. you're in this room and you need Jesus, this is your chance to lift your hands and call on him. You can do it at your seat, but I'd love for you to join us in this altar. It is that important of a decision. You say, why do I need to come to an altar? I could stay back here. You could, and you can receive Jesus back there. But when you come down here, we're going to introduce you to some faith people that are going to love and encourage you and inspire what God is starting in you.